Ready for your new TV obsession? Thursday, January 26th on the CW, the network that gave you The Vampire Diaries and Gossip Girl, is bringing you the awesomely dark and addictive new series Riverdale. Based on Archie comics, Riverdale puts a super edgy, twisted spin on the classic characters you know. Did you ever read Archie? Which character are you? Are you a good girl like Betty, or are you more of a Veronica? Are you like Golden Boy Archie, or are you a misunderstood loner like Jughead? That's where I really see myself, as a misunderstood loner like Jughead. Which character are you secretly crushing on? Now, Riverdale may look like the perfect, safe, wholesome small town, but it's got huge secrets. It all starts off with a new year at Riverdale High and the mysterious murder of one of its most popular kids. Everyone becomes a suspect, and that's when the sordid details about what everyone really did over the summer and with whom begin to surface. You won't believe what the people in this town are hiding. So do not miss the jaw-dropping series premiere of the must-see new show Riverdale, Thursday, January 26th, only on the CW. Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino here with some special bonus coverage on the podcast. And today we're going to do something that we're calling my first ever Rehap-Up Roundup, where I'm going to be checking in with the hosts of our reality TV Rehap-Up podcast that are going on robhasawebsite.com right now, that we can check in with our hosts and hear how those shows are going that are in season. Of course, the Rehap-Ups are our podcasts that are not hosted by me. That's our second channel. Of course, it's on iTunes as well. If you want to subscribe to it, you can go to robhasawebsite.com/Rehap-Ups. That's R-H-A-P-U-P-S. And we have a number of different shows currently going on. On this podcast today, I'm going to check in with Amy and Haley. They are the hosts of our Bachelor Rehap-Up show. The new season of The Bachelor just kicked off at the beginning of January. They're 2 weeks in. We're going to check in with how they're doing. We're going to also check in with Kurt Clark, who's the host of a couple of our Rehap-Ups that are going on, the Top Chef Rehap-Up show. They're just past the midway point of that season. Plus, Kurt has also been recapping Celebrity Big Brother UK with Alex Kidwell. We'll check in with Kurt. We're also going to check in with Ali Lasher today, who podcasts about MTV reality. They just had the first episode of the new season of Are You the One with Adam Bongiovanni, who many of you guys know from the So You Think You Can podcast competition. That's currently up on robhasawebsite.com. And then we'll check back in with our good buddy Jordan Parhar and hear about what he is up to. And of course, that's just what's going on the Rehap-Ups. Plenty of stuff going on my podcast. Posted my interview with David Wright, about 2 hours and 40 minutes there for you. I'm going to have my interview with Adam Klein dropping on Sunday night as well, so be on the lookout for that. Plus, we have a Brett LaBelle interview coming up and much more, including coverage of the new CBS series Hunted, all on Rob Has a Podcast. All right, so our trip around the Rehap-Ups begins with the hosts of our Bachelor Rehap-Up, which is now back in season. Please welcome back to the podcast the amazing duo, which has been hosting our Bachelor Rehap-Up for like 3 years now. It's really amazing. Amy and Haley, how are you?
Hi.
Great. Hey.
Yes.
We're on a 2-on-1 date right now, Rob.
Whoa.
That means you have to give the rose to one of us and the other has to go home empty-handed.
Okay. Well, we'll see. We'll see how this goes.
Or you could just leave both of us in, you know, the Badlands of South Dakota and we'll just fight it out ourselves.
No, I can't. There's a lot of buzz about the season of The Bachelor. I feel like that The Bachelor, even in the time that you guys have been covering it, I feel like has just only gotten bigger and bigger. Amy, is there anything that you attribute that to besides that you guys are podcasting about it?
I mean, that has to be number one, right?
Yes.
But I think it just continues to build momentum. Every year they try to outdo themselves. And we've actually come full circle now from when we started podcasting Andy's season. Her runner-up, Nick, is now the lead. So we've been following him all this time. And I think getting to know these characters in Bachelor in Paradise also probably has a factor where people continue to build excitement around the cast.
Yeah. Haley, I want to get into this season, but I do think that there's something to sort of like the group watching and social media experience of The Bachelor that's like unique to this show, where I feel like that these women really put themselves out there for people on social media and bloggers and podcasters just to make fun of them.
I mean, that could be part of it. I know that social media is really what got me into this show. I loved the community around it. I thought it was like the funniest people on Twitter. I thought they were all so funny that I just had to start watching so I could follow along. The girls, I don't know if they're looking for people to talk, make fun of them. I think they want people to talk about them. I think they want Instagram sponsorships.
Mm-hmm.
That's definitely a driving factor now.
Yeah.
That wasn't around when we started. It wasn't.
And really, winning the show is not getting the guy, but is getting your own round of the show where you can be the Bachelor and Bachelorette, right?
Or even to be the star of Bachelor in Paradise.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, like, who cares if you win your season? Like, as long as you make it to Paradise and you're in that first cast and you can find some guy to make out with for 4 weeks, then you're set. You're a star.
Amy, let's talk about Bachelor Nick. Is Nick a good bachelor?
It's Nick 4.0. We've seen him twice on The Bachelorette, once on Bachelor in Paradise. And so I feel like he's studied to become it. He was a villain on Andy and Caitlin's season, trying to hog airtime with the women. And Haley and I were both fans of his. And right now we kind of have mixed feelings because he's good in the sense that he brings drama. The girls are all crazy about him, but at the same time, he knows how the show works. So he elicits kind of the crazy from them on these earlier episodes, like the group dates. We can tell that he's keeping some people around just to kind of feel them out and see, wow. You know, yeah, exactly. Literally in this last episode, he held Corinne by her boobs in the pool.
Okay, well, we'll get to that. We'll get to that. But Haley, that sounds all good. Why are you guys only lukewarm on him?
We've always been Nick apologists, and it's almost going too far in the other direction where we like a little bit of spontaneity in our Bachelor season, where Nick is going to be very calculated about every aspect about his season. And that's not just from producer influence, but also just from his own knowledge of this franchise. He sees how people have made a career out of it, and like, he wants to make a career out of it too. And Amy and I talked about this on our last episode, that he's never going to pick the villain because that's going to be bad for his image and it's going to be bad for his persona in the Bachelor sphere. So
Amy, what you're saying is that this is problematic, that Nick is the Bachelor super duper fan and has been through it too much and is nothing seems organic about this.
Yeah, I think we aren't really trusting his actions the same way, whereas other Bachelors, we might say, oh, that might be producer driven, but this guy is so dumb and naive, he's falling for it. Whereas here we think everything Nick's doing is calculating and we're just not like, it's not the Nick we fell in love with on Andy's season, the sweet and innocent Wisconsin boy. He's now a professional, you know, selfie taker, and, you know, he quit his job and
he has abs now, which he never had before.
Can't trust a guy with that good of abs.
No, that's what I always say. You can never trust a guy with abs. That's definitely rule number one. So, Amy, what is he doing? You mentioned this woman, Corinne, who's on the show, and what is going on?
So Corinne stood out on the first episode for her intro package. They showed her running her dad's company, but they were very vague about what it was. And we think it might be some kind of flooring company or something like that. But to her, it's a multi-million-dollar, you know, amazing company. And she's 24 or 23 and still has a nanny that works full time for her. And so she's just this character.
The nanny, it takes care of her, or the nanny takes care? She has children. The nanny takes
care. No. She's the child.
Yeah. She gets her nanny to bring her like cucumbers whenever she wants, or, you know,
it's like a personal butler.
Okay.
Yeah. Like when she was first introduced on the show, I literally thought this nanny was her grandmother until people were like, no, that's paid help. And I was like, I cannot even fathom how we got to this place.
She has like a handmaiden.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. So the last episode, they had a group date where they all took wedding photos, you know, just getting ready in case one
of them. Just a casual first date.
You know, and she was all excited because she was given the theme of bikini bride. So she was like, I'm the hottest. I get to wear the bikini. But little did she know that another contestant, Brittany, was given the character of Adam and Eve bride, where she didn't have a top on at all and just had her hair covering her breasts.
Okay.
And leaf bikini. Mm-hmm. So she thought, how am I going to one up this? This is not fair. And so when she was doing the photo shoot, she just ripped her top off.
Okay.
And yeah. So and that's where we're at with that.
Well, Haley, what did she say? She's just like, you know, I'm getting hot, so I have to take off this bathing suit.
I don't even know because I just blacked out from secondhand embarrassment. I think she was just like, she did this like weird thing where she kind of like turned into him and took her top off. And then he was just like, he was horrified, I think is the appropriate word to describe his facial expression.
Yeah, because even if he liked it, that he knows that the Bachelor audience is going to be out on this woman from here on out.
That and the 11 other women on the date were 13 feet from him. Yeah. While this was taking place.
So, Amy, did she get a rose then this last week?
Oh, yeah. She got the first group date rose. You know, he's able to give one away. And that's an example of where we thought, okay, this is a case where I think he's buddy-buddy with the producers. And it's just like, oh, this will be good for the show to give her the rose rather than somebody else that, you know, he's rewarding that behavior, which we were just kind of like, I think that's totally calculated.
But Haley, if you guys like the insanity of the show, why aren't you happy that he's keeping people like this around? Do you feel like that you need to be invested in Nick actually finding love?
Yeah, we want a balance. And we've seen this in the last few seasons where there's like a villain character and they get all of the screen time. And then it's hard for us to get to know any of the other women. And that villain very, very, very rarely makes it to the top. So then she's usually kicked out around final six, final seven. Then we're left with a group of women that we know nothing about. So it's very hard for us to, you know, air quotes, get invested in this relationship that we're watching when we don't even know who these women are because we spent so much time focused on the person we hate. Like, Corinne probably got 400 confessionals approximately this week's episode. Yeah.
So, Amy, what's in it for Corinne to be acting this way on the show? I mean, you wouldn't think that they're going to make her the Bachelorette by acting this way. Is it just to sort of get her ticket punched to go to Bachelor in Paradise? And I guess I'm sort of assuming that she's being as calculated as Nick is, and she's not just legitimately a crazy person.
Well, she was the one night one. I think we got multiple people tweeting us saying, she's the shoo-in for Bachelor in Paradise. So she's got that covered. That's one way to make sure that you're memorable, whether you go out first night or later on, is just bring the high drama. But we're not sure that she's as calculated with her actions and maybe just a mixture of crazy and narcissistic. And this is just Corinne, the way she operates normally.
Okay. It's just Corinne. And if you want to win, you've just got to be Corinne. You have to be Corinne, you know?
Yeah. Why does she talk in the third person quite a bit?
When she's had a lot of sparkling wine, yes. Yes, indeed.
Okay. Amy, are there any other standouts this season?
We had another standout. This was a woman named Liz who showed up night one and couldn't help but remind us, mention it every chance she got, that she and Nick met before. She was maid of honor at Jaden Tanner's wedding. That was a couple who got engaged on Bachelor in Paradise. So Jade was the maid of honor. Liz was the maid of honor. And she met Nick. They hooked up and she never spoke to him again.
Whoa.
And decided that she would show up on The Bachelor and see if he remembered her.
Okay, so I just want to make sure I have this correct. So Nick went to some wedding in real life and he hooked up with a woman and now she's a contestant on his season of The Bachelor?
Yeah.
Yes. I have that correct?
Yep, that's what happened.
And was he in on it?
We're missing a part because he, after this hookup, he asked her for her number and she said no. And then she just shows up and then he's pretty upset about it because he's like, well, why are you here? Obviously, you're just here for TV. You know, we have mutual friends. You could have gotten my number in the last 6 months, but you never did.
Yeah. Amy, she pulled the Baylor and Missy.
And we'll just show up.
Yeah.
She totally did. And she really liked the thought of him not knowing who she was. Like,
not remembering that he intercoursed her.
He intercoursed her.
Yeah.
Do we have that correct? That's yeah. Verified?
It was confirmed coitus. Jordan got those points.
So he slept with her at the wedding. She wouldn't give him the phone number the next day?
Yeah.
It must have been that bad.
And then she showed up on The Bachelor. So who are we to say?
I guess so. I just figured that, okay, if you have abs now, I guess you can have my phone number. And then does he like her? Does he keep giving her roses, Amy?
He kept her around, spoiler alert, for one week.
Yeah.
To just kind of give her the benefit of the doubt, carry on that conversation. But he eliminated her on their group date.
Oh, okay. All right. Well. I guess that's payback for this showing up and crashing the Bachelor.
Okay. Well, and it was a breakup theme. They had one wedding themed group date and one breakup themed group date where they went to the Museum of Broken Relationships. Apparently that's somewhere in Los Angeles.
Yeah, I bet.
So, yeah.
Okay. So, Haley, who's the odds on favorite? Who are you thinking is going to be the person left with Nick at the end of this?
So we have three front runners right now, and I think Amy and I both feel pretty strongly about this, and the community at large agrees with us. So we have Danielle M., a neonatal nurse from Nashville. Okay. She's 31. She's very beautiful. She's easygoing. She has a dead fiance, and she seems like her and Nick are going to be great together.
The dead fiance is huge. That's
So that was upsetting. And then we have Vanessa, who's a special education teacher from Montreal.
Okay.
She is 29, so she's one of the grandmothers of the group. She's beautiful and wonderful.
And you're not just saying that because she's Canadian?
I mean, I picked her because she was Canadian. And then we have Rachel, who is a lawyer from Dallas, and she's 30, 29, 28, something like that. So.
Okay.
So we're picking the three women who are close to 30. Everyone else is 23. So we just went on age alone, and
it's millennials versus Gen X. That's where Nick is the Gen X, and everyone else is millennials.
Okay.
Like that's not even exaggeration. It's
the truth. Amy, are you seeing anybody here who has bachelorette upside?
I think any of those three that Haley mentioned could work as bachelorette. There is also another Danielle that could be up there, a girl named Sarah that has kind of that bachelorette look and energy. But like Haley said about Corinne, we're really just seeing the villain edits come through right now, the crazy edits. So I think we'll get closer to that when we reach the hometown dates to really figure that out.
Okay. So all in all, if people are not following The Bachelor this season, they're missing out. Good season.
Definitely.
Yeah, we're enjoying it a lot so far. I think both episodes we've covered have been really great. If I have to be unmodest for a moment, I think both of our podcasts about those episodes have been a lot of fun, too. Our preview with Jordan was great. Even if you don't want to watch the show, just come to us. We'll tell you what's going on. Then you can seem like you're up with all the pop culture in the office, and everyone will like you.
Yeah. Also, the other thing that I wanted to have you guys on, we have a very exciting announcement that you guys have been working on a new audiobook, which is going to be dropping. You are beginning The History of Romance, a full rewatch of The Bachelor, which is going to be coming up very soon, right?
Yeah, and it's only 20 minutes, and most of it is us crying with wine in our hands.
Could you imagine? Amy, does anybody ever rewatch a season of The Bachelor, Bachelorette?
You know, they just put Alex Michelle's season up on ABC.com. So that's the very first Bachelor. We're at season 21 right now. This was in the age of mock turtlenecks and just a lot of, you know, go back and watch how humdrum it was back then.
Yeah.
And how blah The Bachelor was.
I can't imagine. I would love to know in the comments if anybody has ever rewatched a season of Bachelor or Bachelorette. Haley, do you think it's ever been done in human history?
Wow. Probably, if I had to put money on it, I would say yes.
Somebody probably did it.
Yeah, and I would question their sanity.
They've probably
our sanity.
Probably someone that's been on Bachelor in Paradise.
Oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely. They've been rewatching their own season.
That's what they do when they hang out. All right. Well, really great stuff. Of course, if you guys want to catch the Bachelor wrap up with Amy and Haley, all those episodes are up on robhasawebsite.com. And correct me if I'm wrong, but the iTunes link is robhasawebsite.com/batchcast. That's BACHCAST. And of course, the hosts of this fine podcast are also on Twitter. Amy is at Rahap Recapper, and Haley has the wonderful at @HStrong_.
Follow along with us. We love to live tweet the episodes. We take your questions on there. If you have a long form question, you can email that in at bachelorrehapup@gmail.com. So there's lots of ways to get in contact with us.
Okay. All right. Anything else, Amy?
Nope. Just having a lot of fun. And yeah, that's it.
Okay. All right. Thanks so much for coming on, and enjoy the rest of the time with Bachelor Nick this season and Crazy Corinne.
Thank you, Rob.
All right, everybody. Our next guest should be no stranger to most of you. We've podcast about many, many different shows. He's currently podcasting about two different Rehap Ups and will soon be joining me to talk about Hunted on CBS later on this month. Please welcome back the Tabulator, Kurt Clark. Tabulator, how are you?
I'm doing quite well, Rob. How are you doing?
Very good, Tabulator. I had been thinking about, I had a rejected podcast pitch idea for you. This is January 2017. We are coming up on the 5-year anniversary of the first Miss Survivor competition, and I had thought about an oral history of Miss Survivor and Mr. Survivor, but I decided that was just going to be way too much work and the juice was not going to be worth the squeeze.
Yeah, it's anybody who listens to the podcasts I do knows that I have a very short goldfish-like memory for seasons past, if anything. It's probably why I end up just podcasting about things that largely just do last one season, because looking back into past seasons, I completely go blank. And so that just sounds like a lot of work that I would not be interested in.
Okay. Kurt, before we get into Top Chef, I know you were at the Survivor finale for Millennials versus Gen X. How was that?
That was amazing. I thought, I've only been to one other live taping before in my life of anything. And it was Wheel of Fortune. And it was like 2 hours of hell.
2 hours of hell.
Oh, God, yeah. Just like the amount, for not being a live show, like the amount of time it takes to create a single episode and the downtime. I was just completely bored here. It was just nice that it was live and you knew that the commercial break was going to be the length of a commercial break. They didn't have to like reset for anything and reshoot anything. So, yeah, Josh Wigler was nice enough to bring me along as his plus one. And we had a couple patrons, Nate Tippy and Eric Laval, sit with us as well. There was open spots, so they, as seat fillers, took those. And it was a really good time. And kind of checked that off the bucket list. I really enjoyed it.
Okay. Well, speaking of Josh Wigler, he is one of your co-hosts on the dream team of podcasting here on the Top Chef Roundtable Rehap Up show. Do I have the name correct?
I believe it is it depends on who's kind of setting it up at the beginning of any episode, but I think we've kind of called it the Top Chef Roundtable. Occasionally it's been the Top Chef Judges Table, but we kind of think it was the Top Chef Roundtable.
Top Chef Roundtable is yourself, yeah. Josh, Antonio Mazzaro, and Mike Bloom, a murderer's row of RHAP podcasters.
Yeah, and actually, because trying to get four of us all on the same schedule every weekend isn't always possible. Occasionally, I know just like the first few episodes, Josh, just because of his other commitments, had to step out. But I know last weekend, for example, Antonio and Josh podcasted from Shea Wigler with the wonderful Emily Fox, Josh's wife. Mm-hmm. And a few weeks into the season, as well as tomorrow when we cover the most recent episode, Haley Strong is going to be joining us to cover. So we do kind of bring in additional people every so often as well.
And now, I think a lot of people know I am not a big cooking show guy. What is specific to Top Chef that makes it different than all of these other cooking shows?
For me, it's two things. A lot of the shows that are out there that I, you know, occasionally watch, for instance, I'm thinking of Cutthroat Kitchen, it's very episodic in terms of you have four contestants go in and you have one winner, the next episode, new set of contestants, one winner. I haven't watched many other shows, but I do like the kind of that competition elimination aspect of Top Chef. At the same time, it's people who are kind of at the top of their game. I think shows like Hell's Kitchen do scratch a specific itch, but for me, that's a lot of people who are almost like going into boot camp and being broken down and brought back up again. Here it's people who are already pros, already doing a really good job, and you kind of get to see people again at that peak in their game. So it's good stuff in terms of like with the end result of the cooking, and it's just really enjoyable. You usually get some interesting personalities on there, and the judges are great too. So all now, around, yeah.
Is Top Chef your favorite out of all of these? And can you speak for your entire panel of co-hosts that Top Chef is the best out of all these cooking shows?
I believe it was during the first episode of this season where one of the contestants said that he was willing, you know, really excited to prove himself on one of the best cooking shows out there. And the one of the co-hosts, Padma, says, the best. But he kind of checks him and gives him the little Padma side eye that we talk about. No, this is the best. For me, I would definitely say that it is my favorite of the cooking shows. Another one that I do enjoy a lot is kind of the Iron Chef show where there's that little twist of you make this one ingredient work. Again, that scratches a different itch for me. I would hazard to say that if you asked and polled our little round table, you know, what is the best competition cooking show out there, I think they would all also put Top Chef at the top.
Okay. Now, is this a good season of Top Chef, Kurt?
It's a good season. It's actually one of the first. They've had on occasion in the past, for instance, one or two returning chefs, but this is pretty much I want to call it a fans versus favorite season. They do on the season called Veterans versus Rookies, which of course gets the rookies a little bit riled up.
They don't use fresh meat?
Yeah, they should have used fresh meat. But it is 8 returning chef testants, as they call them on the show, as well as 8 first-timers/newbies, yes, to the gauntlet. So it's an interesting twist. It's playing out a little bit like I think we maybe would have expected it to, in terms of the veterans have dominated a bit more. But otherwise, yeah, it's a really solid season. So some good characters and some good challenges.
Now, of you, Josh Wiggler, Mike Bloom, and Antonio, who would win in a cook-off between those four?
You know what? That's like saying like who's the shortest giant.
I think it's you, Kurt. I see all those Instagrams of your blue apron that you're putting out there.
That's what I'm saying, is I would have to put maybe myself out there only because of occasional RHAP sponsor Blue Apron. And that's even like I can't shop, you know, worth a damn when it comes to making a meal. It's like I can't have my kitchen stocked so that I could just make a meal on a whim. If I want to make a dish, I have to go on a special cooking trip just for that dish.
Yeah.
And at least with that, it puts all the ingredients in my kitchen, but I'm pretty good at prepping. Actually, I'm really bad at prepping. It takes me forever to prep. I'm good at following the ingredients. Like if I could get the stuff shipped to me where the onion's already diced, that would be the only way that this would be an improvement. I like putting the stuff together. I like the chemistry part of it. And I really enjoy the plating. I think like it could taste like crap. Like I make I'm terrible at making rice. It always ends up being undercooked. But it looks good on a plate.
Don't have Jerry Manthe over.
No, don't have Jerry Manthe.
Oh, I don't Rob.
Like, you say yes. It's like, but I think he likes crispy rice, not crunchy rice. And there is actually a difference.
Kurt,
there.
This is terrible.
Yeah. But I think all of us are used to kind of getting our foods, you know, delivered or our meals delivered or picked up. Although I know that Emily, Josh's wife, is an excellent cook, so he might be a little bit more accustomed to home cooked meals than me. But I think in the competition, I might win out. Antonio might have be up there as well.
I feel like it's between you and Antonio. I don't know what Mike Bloom can do.
I think when it comes to eating, I think that there'd be a good tie for first place with Mike Bloom falling into second. I think that Josh Antonio and I like our foods.
Okay. So the other show you're covering on the Rahap Ups is the Celebrity Big Brother UK is back. That a lot of people may or may not know that Big Brother UK does a celebrity version. I believe they do it twice a year. It's about a 3-week season. Stop me if I have anything wrong, but that is, I know, one of your favorite guilty pleasures, Kurt.
Yeah, it goes out to about 4 weeks. It might even be 5. I'm trying to remember. I know. That's why the celebrity with a lowercase c. But yeah, it is on twice a year. It's a little bit more like Big Brother over the top in that the housemates nominate and the public evicts, kind of like, again, season one of Big Brother. This is how all of the seasons of the UK version work and the Australian version work. So, we've basically gone through almost 2 full weeks, and that's just chugging along. It's on every night, so it's a little bit of a time commitment. But that's going strong.
And of course, you're podcasting that with the old reliable member of the LFC, Alex Kidwell, and you guys are following all of these celebrities, including former RHAP co-host Spencer Pratt and his lovely wife, Heidi Pratt. Or should you go Heidi Montag or Heidi Pratt?
They just refer to them as Spidey in the
Spidey.
House.
Spidey.
Yes. It's very much like the Pax Bros from Canada, Big Brother Canada last year, where they are playing as an individual entity in the house, which is interesting because there was a mother and son duo in the house as well, who are playing as individual players. But this is also kind of a fans versus favorite season, maybe it's a little bit more like Top Chef in that it is returnees versus first timers. Or they kind of call them all stars versus new stars.
Politically correct. Yeah,
exactly. We're kind of entering week 3 and Spidey is still around. So we'll see if they survive the weekend, though, because there's an interesting twist that just happened last night.
Okay. So you don't want to spoil the twist?
Oh, no, I'm fine spoiling. They had their first live eviction last night and somebody went home. And then they had they kicked off what was called the weekend from hell, in which all of the housemates then had to nominate who they thought was the most boring housemate in the house. And they had a shock eviction where the person who got the most nominations went home. The entire house thinks that they're kind of being put in a side house or kind of a secret room and will come back into the game, but does not appear to be the case. They actually ended up having 2 evictions. 3 new celebrities entered the house as well. And the denouement of the last night was that the public voted on which 6 celebrities they wanted to see go to hell. And those 6 celebrities will be in this kind of hellish side house for the weekend, 6 of them. And by the end, they'll have a chance to win their way back into the main house. But by the end of the weekend, one of them will be evicted. And Spidey is among those 6. So we'll see if they end up surviving this weekend from hell.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Kurt, but I believe that the whole reason that people like having them on there is to torture Spidey. It's a very cathartic thing having them on the CBB UK.
You know what? I would say that was kind of the case last year. I'd say that last year they made it to finalists. They were actually got second place, not last year, but their first season out there. They got second place, and it was largely, I think, because they were such entertaining television. There's chances here and there to influence how you impact other people in the game in terms of the voting public. But here it's actually a much softer spoken Spidey. They're actually being very nice. They've gotten to a couple altercations with people in the house, but very much the person who was the other person in that argument was really coming off as the instigator or the person who was in the wrong. So I'm actually very much enjoying Spidey this season. And I'm not just saying that because of the RHAP connection.
So, Kurt, besides Spidey, who else would people recognize from this season?
Absolutely nobody. I'm trying to think. Unless you are from the UK or you've watched previous seasons of Celebrity Big Brother, you're probably not going to recognize anybody.
What about Ray J?
Ray J is no longer in there.
I know. Alex Kidwell was telling me this. He had some sort of a dental issue.
He had some issue that wasn't gone into detail on the show. I didn't read the articles about it, But yeah, Ray J, that's true. Ray J was in there. Stacy, who was on, I think, season one of the X Factor in the US, is in there. I'm trying to kind of go through my mental Rolodex. There's not really anybody else that's popping out as familiar.
Yeah, I met Ray J once.
Did you?
Yes.
You're familiar with his work?
Yes. I believe he was in studio as a guest on the Time Out with Terrell Owens podcast.
Oh, okay. Oh, I guess someone that people would know. James Cosmo, who played Jerry Mormont, who originally, I think, headed up the Night's Watch in the first three seasons of Game of Thrones. He was also in Braveheart. He is in the house.
And has his watch ended?
It is not. There was one part where he had a task where it was a task that involved doing a bunch of activities behind the back of one of the other housemates. For instance, they had to eat and consume five pizzas in 10 minutes without Bianca knowing about it. So yeah. Someone had to distract Bianca in the backyard while everybody else like stuffed their face with pizza in the main room. But he had a specific task of he had to lead Tony the Pony a little bit like Little Sebastian. From like one part of the house to another part of the house without Bianca seeing it. And he picks up Tony and he says, "This is my mighty steed." And he's like, "You know, careful men, Tony is coming," instead of "Winter is coming." It was actually quite endearing. And wow, he's
a Game Changers plug.
Maybe it could be, but he actually seems to be well-liked by the house, well-liked by the public. He was up for eviction this first week and the public did save him. So we'll see if he can make it out. He's actually kind of an interesting character.
All right, Kurt. Well, you're going to be in mid-season form when we pick up talking about the new hit reality series coming to CBS. When you, myself, and Liana Barras from the So You Think You Can podcast competition will get into discussing that hit show, Hunted, on CBS.
Can we call it a hit show when it hasn't aired yet? Okay, it's been in the UK.
New hit, Kurt, to use adopt the
best new reality show of 2017.
The nomenclature from CBB UK. Yes, okay. A new hit.
Okay. I'm very much looking forward to it. In fact, I actually just started. I wanted to hunt down the season one or series one, as they call it, from the UK this weekend and start giving that a watch. Kind of familiarize myself with the format, or at the very least, be able to see, okay, so this is different than they did it in the UK. I've been reading up a little bit about it on the CBS website. It seems like there's like a ton of people involved. I thought it was maybe a cast of thousands where it's like, I can't remember, like so many pairs of people who are, you know, fugitives. And I thought it was maybe like a couple pairs.
We need Spidey.
I thought it was like two people who are like trying to track any of them down, but it seems like there's like a pair of hunters for every pair of huntees. And I don't quite know how this works, but apparently they are confined to the Southeast United States. So they can't just go anywhere. And yeah, I'm really interested to kind of see how they explain the rules in the premiere and how this ends up playing out. And there's like people back in a home base. And so I plan on watching the UK version and then watching what is going to be the first of many seasons of Hunted.
Okay, so you'll come in and hopefully can have a little bit of a background in what's going on. The premiere of Hunted is after the AFC Championship game on CBS coming up next Sunday. So we are about to get right into it. And then it is going to assume the Survivor time slot until Game Changers starts on the 8th of March.
Yes, we are pushing back Survivor. Or Hunted.
Yes. All right. So there we go, Kurt. All right. So all fun stuff. You can catch all of these Rehap Ups on the Rehap Ups channel or on robiswebsite.com. Kurt, any specific plugs you want to get out there?
No, those are, I think, the main things. If anybody is interested in catching up on Top Chef, again, I think we're about halfway through the season. We're going to be recording our most recent coverage or the most recent episode tomorrow. And then actually this coming week would be a good time to kind of catch up with it because it's kind of what it'll be the Restaurant Wars episode. I think we're going to be down to eight people, and you're going to potentially see a lot going on there in terms of how we end up setting up one of the biggest parts of the Top Chef season. As for Celebrity Big Brother UK, lots of ways to watch it on YouTube. Just search for it there and you can find it and hopefully catch up with Alex and me on that channel.
And Kurt, has anybody from CBS reached out to you to pay you off to not podcast about the first season of Hunted and to keep the Clark curse at bay?
Not yet. I'm feeling offers. So we'll see what ends up happening with that. But I believe that they're thinking this is going to be such a big juggernaut that even the Clark curse cannot affect it.
The new
challenge
hit.
Accepted.
Yes, yeah. Challenge accepted. All right. You can follow the great Kurt Clark on Twitter. He is at Kurt Clark. And then, Kurt, I will talk to you next week.
Sounds good.
All right. Take care. All right. Now we're going to dive into the world of the MTV reality, a world that I don't know a lot about, but she definitely does. Welcome back, the host of the Are You the One Rehap Up and the Challenge Rehap Up, the great Allie Lasher. Allie, how are you?
Rob, it's great to be talking to you. I don't know if I want to be known as the person who knows a lot about the MTV world, but I made my bed and now I'm going to lie in it.
Well, you know a lot about many different things, but that's just the one corner of the Rehap Ups that you cover so expertly.
I'll take that. I will take that.
Okay. So for the uninitiated who are listening to this, who don't really know what's going on with the MTV reality, you just covered the premiere of Are You the One with Adam Bongiovanni, who a lot of people know from the So You Think You Can podcast competition. Can you just set up real quick, what is Are You the One? Because I don't really think that I know.
Great question. Are You the One is a scientific social experiment that yields boundless love and money for the lucky few who get cast. So basically the premise is that traditionally it was 10 men and 10 women. This season, they've really taken it up a notch and it's 11 men and 11 women.
It's like Spinal Tap.
Sure. I was thinking Emeril Lagasse.
Okay.
Kick it up a notch. God, I'm really struggling. Okay. So 11 men, 11 women. Scientifically chosen, matched together. And we've had people on the show who have told us, like, the matchmaking process is apparently extensive. So while I like to mock it, apparently it exists.
Apparently.
Apparently. Oh, my old buddy. They're in a house this year. I think it's in Costa Rica. But correct me on that. And this premise is they have to find all 11 perfect matches before the end of the season, and they'll split $1 million. This season, they've actually added a lot of new twists that are going to make it really interesting, I think. Adam and I both thought that, and I'm excited for the season.
So it's like a team game, like all 22 people are working together to find who the 11 scientific matches are?
Ah, Rob, there you've hit it right there. Is it a team game, right? Because only you can get love with your perfect match. Are you choosing love, or are you choosing to help the house win the money?
Yeah.
So Through the episodes, there will usually be a date, a competition for a date. The house will get to vote one of the couples on the dates into the truth booth, which is the only way you can confirm a match. And you go into this little shack and they throw some laser beams on you and then they tell you whether or not you're a perfect match.
Okay.
And then at the end of the episode, there will be a matchup ceremony where they'll tell you how many couples are correct, but not who is correct.
So for the most part, there are people that are just more interested in hooking up with whoever they think is hot rather than trying to find their scientific match for their share of $1 million, which I guess amounts to about $45,000 per person with 22 people. I have my calculator out.
Pre-tax.
Yes, pre-tax.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. You're saying it in a very cynical way, Rob. What they'd like to say is, do they follow their heart or do they follow their mind? You know, are they here for what they think they need or what they usually go for? Because as Ryan, the host, likes to remind us every episode, these people are amazing. And the only thing in their lives that they're missing is that they suck at relationships. Can you believe that?
I can't. No.
But we have a lot of fun. I don't know how you feel about this. I categorize the Are You the One podcast as the drunk aunt of reality TV wrap-ups, where you're like, you don't know where she's going, who invited her, or what she's talking about, but you're always going to have a good time.
Yeah. Okay. And people, based on the podcast that you did talking about the premiere, there was a confirmed coitus on the first night.
Yeah, you would get points in Haley and Amy's draft for this. I say there are two reasons to watch Are You the One. One is that you want to feel better about yourself. That's definitely a valid reason. And the other is the best, most dramatic day on The Bachelor, or The Challenge, or what have you, is like the first 10 minutes of Are You the One?
Mm-hmm. I'm kind of into it, I have to say.
I would love for you to start watching it, Rob. I really would.
After I listened to the podcast you and Adam did, I said, I think I might want to check this out. And so Are You the One has become also a feeder into The Challenge, correct?
Yeah, they're really, honestly, I will say, and the one serious thing I'll say is MTV has really stepped it up and they're putting a lot behind Are You the One. A lot has changed format wise to make it more interesting. They're really throwing everything they have at this. And one of those things is to incorporate the Are You the One cast members onto The Challenge. So you have The Real World and Are You the One replacing what was once like the road rule spot of Challenge lifers.
Yes. Yes. And The Real World, they still bring in people as well. So is it like a mix? Is it like they have half from The Real World, half from Are You the One that come in?
We're waiting for that. I mean, Brian and I often speculate about when that will happen and when there will be enough people from Are You the One that they want to have on in the half of the team on The Challenge. We haven't had that yet. Usually it's like 2, 3, 4 people, but I do see it moving there at some point.
Do you have any favorite standouts from the new season of Are You the One?
Oh, God. I like Jalen based on like the video clips that they pass along to us as bios, quote unquote. I just think he's great. I mean, everybody's got the same storyline. All of the guys like are once losers or chubby or teased, and now they're just like the Adonises. You know how that happens, right? Like usually the kid
I'm
in middle
school. I'm
still
waiting for that to happen to me.
Yeah. And the girls all have trust issues and were cheated on. So it's hard to pick a standout. I like Jalen. My money's on him for the rest of the season. There's also Catherine, who she's the one who she... how graphic can I be in this? Had sex in public to make someone else jealous. So she's definitely going to be one to watch for the rest of the season.
Yeah, it sounds like it. So explain to me, because just reading between the lines, I know that certainly Brian, who does the Challenge podcast with you, and maybe you to a lesser degree, I feel like you guys don't like Are You the One as much as the Challenge.
See, you could say that because Brian didn't want to do the Are You the One podcast this season. I am like doing everything I can to keep this podcast alive.
Okay.
Because I love Are You the One.
Okay.
I think Are You the One is like everything I want in a show. There's only been 5 seasons, so people can't like get mad at me for not knowing the history of it. And it's just like unbelievable to be watching this. Some of these people in their bios have aspirations of being judges. We've had law students in the past. We've doctors, teachers,
like
assistants,
court judges?
Teachers. I don't know if she meant more
like beauty pageant judges.
I was like thinking maybe she wants to be like on X Factor. I don't know, but I just love it. It's unbelievable to me that people are willing to do this for, at the end of the day, $22,000 and a shot at like being an extra in a movie once.
I'm going to check it out. I really want to.
Then, all right, if you watch it, I want you on the podcast.
All right, you tell me when, and I will come on and watch Are You the One and talk about it. So this is all leading up to the return of The Challenge coming up this spring?
Yes. MTV just dropped a bomb on us.
Uh-oh.
That The Challenge will be premiering February 7th, and you've never seen something like what they've announced for this season. I know you're a big fan of The Challenge.
Yeah, what are they going to do? Game changers?
Oh, it's pretty much, honestly, like that's pretty interesting. It's called The Challenge Invasion, and it will feature, and I'm pretty much reading this verbatim from EW.com to give credit, 18 underdogs competing to earn their way out of the shelter, which is a desolate, bare bones accommodations. And if they arrive at the Oasis, 12 of them will, but that's only step one of their literal
challenge.
This
sounds like Opposite Worlds.
This would not be the first time MTV has borrowed from almost any other show possible.
Yeah. The invasion.
The invasion part of it, the game-changing aspect, if you will, is that there will be 8 veterans who are your favorites. Johnny Bananas, CT, who's back since DM tragically passed away, and that's serious, is coming back. Darrell is back. Like, all of your old favorites, Rob, are coming back to be challenge champions to FS up.
Okay. So people are going to try to go from being the underdogs to get to the Oasis, and the eight favorites are going to try to stop them or help them?
I do not know. They called it a season-long attack.
Yeah.
We shall see. We're in this together.
I'm reading the description on the MTV website, and they say, with devastating elimination rounds, truly baffling hookups. How are there baffling hookups?
Look, I'm looking at the cast list. There's some people, if they hooked up, I would be baffled. And I watch Are You the One, so it takes a lot to shake me.
Yeah. Wow. And the first ever 3-day final on the way. So that's all coming up in Challenge Invasion.
And I think this season's going to be great. One of the things we often talk about is, when are they going to be able to stop leaning on Johnny Bananas, who's been on for literally the last 100 years, and these major characters. And now we're going to see these underdogs are the real sort of contestants. And this is like a way to take away the training wheel, so to speak. And also, like, people have been begging. I was wrong. I have to eat crow here. People have been begging for like old school, real world people to come back. And I always say, let it go. We've moved on. These 30, 40 year old men are not coming back on the show. And here we go. We have two people from the Road Rules back on the season, and people are loving it. So I apologize for trying to move on.
Let me just ask one big picture question, because I know with Survivor, especially with the return of the Game Changers, you have people that they come back, you know, third time, fourth time, and the people who are the super duper fans, certainly on the internet, sometimes say, all right, enough with these people. Is there that same sort of thing that happens in the Challenge? Like, are the hardcore fans saying, like, enough of Johnny Bananas, but the casuals can't get enough of him?
No, I really do think, let's use Johnny Bananas, for example, but a lot of these people have been on like nine times, eight times. Like, it's beyond, you know, the 3-time return or whatever. And because The Challenge is a show about like pretty much having the same cast with just minor adjustments season to season, we're all okay with it. And I think they've really done a lot to build the show around these people. I don't love Johnny Bananas. Brian loves Johnny Bananas. Like, there are definitely, there's definitely people that love him who are huge, huge fans. And I don't like him, but I don't mind him on the show. Right. Like, I do think there's a certain thing he brings. He's pretty much a professional challenge contestant. The producers know that. He knows what they want. I'm interested to see them move away from that this season, but it's not really like a casual big super fan divide.
Okay. All right. Well, we will be awaiting more updates on Are You the One? Have you guys figured out when the next one is going to be?
It's killing me, right? Because I should say I'm only doing a mid-season and a finale show, but we'll probably sneak a couple more in there.
Okay. All right. Well, it's very fun. I enjoyed listening to the recap, even if I didn't watch the show yet, but I'm going to check it out. You can follow Allie on Twitter. She is at LashTweets. You can get the Are You the One and the Challenge podcast certainly in the Wrap-Ups feed, but what's the iTunes feed, Allie?
robhasawebsite.com/challengeiTunes.
Challenge iTunes. All right. Great stuff, Allie. Anything else?
No, I just hope everyone wants to join us this season for the MTV's wild ride they have us on.
Okay. All right. Come out and support the drunk aunt of the Wrap-Ups.
Love it.
I don't mean to say that you're the drunk aunt of the Rahab.
I'm the drunk aunt. The show's the drunk aunt. I'm like totally owning this metaphor. I love it.
Okay. All right. Take care, Allie.
Bye.
And no roundup of the Rahab Ups would be complete without talking to this man. Of course, he is the host of the reality TV Rahappy Hour. Please welcome back the great Jordan Parhar. Jordan, how are you?
Rob, I'm great. Thanks for having me on. Looking forward to talking about some of the wrap-ups a little bit, talking about the Rahappy Hour. It's always always fun to do that.
Good. Always love to catch up. How's everything going outside of the podcast?
Things are good. I'm back at school. I recently switched schools actually this semester. So I was in, I was doing broadcast journalism before, and then I just, you know, I kept having this like desire to go back into teaching, which is what I was doing before I started coming on the podcast, before I was on Big Brother. And so I've switched schools. I'm in a more of like an academic institution. So for me, it's a lot more of like reading and like, you know, papers and writing and stuff like that. So it's been a bit of an adjustment for me, but I'm super excited, and I'm looking forward to this next chapter of my life.
All right, Jordan. Well, you've had a lot of great stuff on the Happy Hour over these last couple of weeks. One of the big interviews that you had was with the great winner of Big Brother 18, Nicole Franzel. She was on the podcast this past week. Can you talk a little bit about that? I'm looking forward to listening to this interview. I haven't listened to it yet.
Okay, great. Yeah. So what we did with Nicole was it was Taryn Armstrong and myself. We sat down with Nicole and we went through her game week by week on Big Brother 18. So we started at the beginning. We talked about what her preparation was like going into it. How long she knew ahead of time that she was going to go back and play. And I was surprised she didn't really have much of a heads up at all. So that was really interesting and just getting her perspective on a lot of her moves. And I think with Nicole, there's this perception about Nicole that she was, you know, she sat in a bed all day and didn't really strategize the whole game. But when you go through it week by week and you hear her perspective on what she was doing to position herself to move forward in the game and to make set herself up so that she could be in a position to win. I think that, you know, I at least gained a lot more respect for Nicole's game. And I think that based on the feedback they've got from some people, they also have done that. So, it was really eye opening. It's just, you know, refreshing too to get a real perspective from Nicole. She was very open and honest. She talked about how James like only wanted to align with her at certain points because she got a care package and he thought that she was America's favorite. Stuff like that was like it was refreshing to hear that okay, you know, she's being straight up with us. So I really enjoyed it. I thought that Nicole did great and. I'm looking forward to hearing. I was really happy with the response we got. I'm looking forward to hearing what you think, Rob, and what some more people think that haven't listened to it yet.
Yeah, I want to check it out. It was a busy recording week for me, but I'd like to know, what was her attitude like? Did she seem like she was enjoying her time as the Big Brother winner, or did she feel like the community of Big Brother fans didn't really support her?
I think that, you know, Nicole kind of feels like she's gotten a bit of a bad rap, but I do think that I don't think a lot has changed for her just based on like talking to her. Like she even we talked to her and I, you know, her Taryn and I kind of talked offline a little bit. You know, she said that she kind of just forgot that she'd won Big Brother. She couldn't believe that she did it and that she kind of would have just gone back to her life. I don't think she compared to at least, you know, some other, you know, Big Brother winners or Survivor winners. I don't think Nicole like really cares too much about like what the online perception is of her. I think that her life is fine. Did it hurt a bit for her? I think it did, but ultimately I think she's handled it pretty well. And I think that she was great with us. She was happy to be on the podcast and to give her take on the whole thing.
Yeah, it's one of the things that I was so surprised that she wanted to do this type of interview, because I had gotten the sense that she really didn't care what the public perception of her was. But the fact that she wanted to come on and tell her story, I guess, speaks to that maybe she did want to sort of change and have the public record of her be different than what it was.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard. Yeah, it was hard to tell. I mean, I felt like she didn't care, but obviously, yeah, if she did the podcast, she did to some extent. And I do think, Rob, it is human nature for a lot of people on these shows to feel the need to explain themselves when people don't, that they see things differently than how you perceive it. I'm sure you can relate to this yourself when you played Survivor, right? As you know, and there were no podcasts back in the day, right? But I mean, I'm sure a lot of people were like, oh, after All Stars, like, oh, Rob sucked. Rob didn't do this. Rob didn't do that. But you didn't have a chance to explain yourself. And I'm sure that sucked. No matter how much you don't care. You say you don't care about what the internet thinks or what people think. Everybody cares to some extent. It's the same thing with me. I mean, I felt the same way when I played Big Brother. I knew I screwed up, but there were certain things that I think got misconstrued that I felt like, oh man, I wish I could kind of explain myself on them a little bit more. And I think it's therapeutic to kind of do a podcast like the one that we did with Nicole, where you can just sit down, lay it all out and kind of get into the nitty gritty of everything.
Yeah, well, I'm glad she did it, because there had been rumors for a while that she would only do an interview if she was paid and all sorts of things that people speculated about with her.
Yeah. And we talked to her offline about that, and that was completely not true. That's one of those things that I think one person reached out to her during Big Brother 16 and said, hey, do you want to do this podcast? She said, no, didn't want to do it. And then I think that's kind of where the rumors started, where the Nicole that where people thought, oh, Nicole only wants to do interviews if she's paid. No, I think part of it is that Nicole is just a very private person. Mm-hmm. And she said to us too that, you know, she doesn't even know how she got was able to handle being on TV because she gets anxiety and all this stuff. So, you know, it's just unfortunate that person out there had to say those, you know, had to start those rumors, because it's not true. Nicole just didn't in general want to do interviews. Didn't mean she wanted to be paid. It was just that she wasn't really comfortable with it.
All right. Another interview that you had done over the last couple of weeks is that you sat down with Will Wall, did a really long form interview about his game. How was talking with Will?
I love talking with Will. I mean, Will is such a smart and mature young kid for his age. I mean, I kept forgetting the whole time I was on the call with him that he was 19. That really blew my mind. And it was really fun getting Will's perspective, because I think that he's a character who wasn't, you know, there were a few weeks on the show where he really, you know, was in the spotlight, but for a lot of it, he was kind of in the background. So it was nice getting his takes on everything. There are certain, you know, moves he made that I had no idea about. He talks about how, you know, in the early game, he recognized Mari, and Mari was like trying to pretend that, you know, she wasn't that big of a YouTube celebrity, and Will kind of outed her in front of everyone. Mm-hmm. So kind of funny getting his take on that. But I love doing the Will interview. He was a really pleasure to have on the podcast, and I hope that down the road I can have him back on as a guest at some point.
What was it like for you to have somebody who is, you know, at least a few years younger than you are sort of like coming to you and saying that he had, you know, been watching you over the last couple of years?
Yeah, that was really, really cool experience for me. I'd never had anybody before say they really listened to the podcast or been like a big, you know, listener of mine before they played one of these games. So that was and I'm sure it was the same thing for you, Rob, when you first heard that. Like for me, that was so cool. And also too, just to think like there's someone younger than me, like I've always been, right? I mean, I've always been used to being the kid in the community, right? Like I'm the youngest, like I'm the young lad podcaster. I'm the, you know, when I played Big Brother, I was the youngest guy in the house. I'm used to being the youngest guy. And when there was somebody who came along and was like, no, actually, I'm going to one up you. I was in high school when I played. That was I was like, OK, I guess, you know, I'm not so young anymore. I mean, I guess I still am kind of, but like it's just funny to think about it that way. So I enjoyed that.
And what do you have coming up in the next couple of weeks? Anything big?
So nothing like overly huge. I'm still working on some stuff in terms of general ideas. Again, with the school thing, I mean, I might not be able to podcast every week for the off season. I'm going to try to keep it to every other week at the very minimum. But just so for the listeners know, coming up, the biggest project that we're working on that we need help for is today that we're recording this, Rob, it is January 14th. A month from now, it is going to be Valentine's Day, a very polarizing holiday. And I know back in the day, the Rob Has a Love Cast was one podcast that I was one of my favorites before I became a staff member of robhaswebsite.com. But now, you know, this year, Rob, with what you've got going on with all the game changer stuff and everything, you know, Rob and I have talked offline, and Rob has given his blessing to me to host the Happy Hour Lovecast special for 2017. So,
I mean, you for a while you've wanted to do this. So I felt like for me, it was just going to be something else that I had to do. And if you have a strong vision and you have a passion for talking about people's passions, then, you know, have at it.
Yeah, okay. Thank you, Rob. I love I don't know what it is, Rob. I love The Bachelor. I love talking about dating and all this kind of stuff. So I think it's gonna be a really fun podcast. So I actually need help from the listeners. So we're gonna have myself and a panel of people from robhaswebsite.com working together, some millennial males, some millennial females. And we're going to take your questions, and we're going to try to help some of the listeners out with their love lives. So if you want to get your questions in, And please, please send them in. You don't have to use your real name. You can use a fake name if you want. You can send those emails to happyhour@robhasawebsite.com. We're going to be recording that in the next few weeks. And yeah, I'm very, very excited, Rob. And thank you. Thank you again. Thank you for letting me host this podcast, because I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
All right. Well, let's see what the listeners come up with on that one. Looking forward to listening to it. Okay. So of course, all of the Happy Hour episodes, you can find them on robhasawebsite.com. But of course, Jordan, if you want to subscribe on iTunes, what's that link?
robhasawebsite.com/happyhour if you want to do that. And to keep it easy for you guys, it's just a happy hour with an R at the front.
Of course, everything's also in the Rehap Ups feed. All right, Jordan, good stuff. Looking forward to seeing what you come up with next as we continue the march to Big Brother Canada 5. Can you believe it?
Oh, I'm going to be like 2 years out of Big Brother soon, Rob. That's a little crazy for me. I'm past my prime. So, I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a fun season.
It was a good ride.
Yeah, it was a good ride. But, I'm just glad that OTT is over and we're going to get to talking about some television Big Brother. I think that will hopefully none of the OTT nonsense will carry over to this.
Yeah. All right. Well, Jordan, have fun and good luck to the Cowboys this weekend. By the time many people listen to this, that game will be over. But hopefully your Cowboys can do you proud.
They're going to do it, man. They're going to finish this fight. Dak and Zeke, they're going to make me proud. We're going to go to the NFC Championship game. We're going to go to the Super Bowl.
Zeke's a real game changer for the Cowboys.
He is a game changer. I mean, he is.
That can't be denied.
He's a returning player to the playoffs. He was the first. He led Ohio State to the first ever college football playoff championship a few years ago. Coming back to the playoffs, returning player, and he's going to lead us to the promised land. I'm very, very excited.
The thing about Zeke is that he's a real unknown, because while most of the other players have been there before, everybody's going to show up in the playoffs and nobody's going to really know who Zeke is.
No, they don't. They don't know who Zeke is. He's the new kid on the block. It's like, oh, who is this guy? Oh, man. Like, he looks like he could be like a stud, but I don't know. Like, I'm kind of nervous about him. So it'll be interesting to see how the veteran players will approach going up against Zeke.
Okay. All right. Well, good stuff, Jordan. Looking forward to seeing the game myself on Sunday. And take care, buddy.
Thanks.
All right, everybody, there you have it, Jordan Parhar, and that will conclude our first ever roundup of the Rehap Ups. Special thanks to Amy, Haley, Kurt, Allie, and Jordan, who all joined us here today. And of course, lots of thanks to Scott St. Pierre, who is the man behind all of the Rehap Ups, making sure all of the trains are running on time, and much, much more in terms of the post-production and posting of all those shows. So thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre for all his hard work making all these Rehap Ups rehappen time and time again. So that's it for us here today. I've got our next podcast coming up. I sat down with Adam Klein. I've got a really, I think, fantastic interview with Adam for you to check out. We go through his entire game and much more. That's coming up, about 3 hour runtime on that one. I think you're going to enjoy it. So look for that to drop sometime Sunday night, Monday morning. Commuters, it should be there for you. So check that out. Plus, we'll have our interview with Brett LaBelle, Celebrity Apprentice, News AF. We'll get Hunted coming up after that and a few other surprises during the week. So stay tuned. You can get all of my podcasts on our main feed for RHAP. robhasawebsite.com/iTunes. Looking forward to hearing what you guys think about all this, and hope you enjoyed our first ever roundup of the Rehap Ups. Take care, everybody. Bye.